Hello and welcome to Meet Her, the newest addition to Virtual Inforum. My name is Terry Barclay, and I'm president and CEO of Inforum, a nonprofit whose work includes highlighting and supporting diversity in business leadership. The Meet Her podcast series introduces listeners to women of accomplishment whose experiences and insights feed us all on our leadership journeys. Joining me today is Karen Folger of Bosch North America. Bosch is consistently one of the most highly regarded companies, actually globally. And Karen is vice president in the Electrical Drives Division, responsible for the Actuation Business Unit. She came to Bosch through an acquisition in 2012, I think it was 2012, after many years of experience in the automotive aftermarket. And we're very proud that Karen is also a member of the Inforum Board of Directors. Welcome, Karen.
Hi, Terry. Thanks. Great to be here.
So if it's okay with you, let's get right to it.
What is
one characteristic that you believe every leader should possess?
Well, first of all, every individual brings her own strengths as a leader, for sure. And those strengths are usually what we think about that make a perfect leader, either based on the specific challenge they're faced with or the specific industry. So of course, there's a myriad of strengths and competencies that are critical. When we think, though, about something that regardless of everything else they bring to the table, the one characteristic that I think is absolutely critical is empathy. And you know, when I started in leadership a very, very long time ago, we didn't really talk about emotional intelligence. And now when you talk in the industry and you talk to HR professionals, many people consider that a critical enabler for success. Why do I think empathy is so important? I believe something I heard at the Center for Creative Leadership a long time ago, and that is that the role of a leader is to increase the collective capacity of a team. In other words, to create value from your team or your organization that's greater than the value they would create as individuals. And to do that, to create successful teams and successful organizations, we know that diversity is critical. I think empathy is the characteristic that lets us leverage that diversity. It lets us put ourselves in the mind of our customer, envision the customer experience, but also to understand the individuals on our team, especially in international teams or highly diverse teams, to do our best to understand their experience and what they bring to the table, their point of view, so you can ensure that you're really allowing them and enabling them to contribute to their optimal abilities. And then, of course, most importantly, to understand ourselves, to guide us in our reflections, particularly in the impact that we're having on others, either in a good way or in a bad way. But I think in general, when we can put ourselves into someone else's shoes, or at least when we genuinely desire to do that, which means we're asking questions, we're seeking to understand, we're really trying to feel somebody else's point of view, then I think we're effective at an entirely different level.
You know, you're so right. And you're the first person that I've heard list empathy as the one characteristic, and you have made a powerful case for why it's important. And you're absolutely right. Who would have thought that we'd be talking about that as a key leadership characteristic? But wow, you sure have given us lots of things to think about in that regard about why it is important. I know that you are great at developing leaders and have stepped into a number of leadership roles yourself. What advice would you give someone going into a leadership position for the first time?
I love that question. I guess, first of all, there's different levels of entering leadership, right? And one of those levels is just when you begin to manage people and you go from being an individual contributor to really being a manager of people. Obviously, moving into leadership can also mean jumping into more senior leadership kind of roles. But in each case, as we think about that, and as I think about young leaders and maybe what I would advise them, is first of all to accept the old sort of trite phrase, "What got you here won't get you there." And I think we spend a lot of time in our careers, at the beginning of our careers, really excelling as individuals. And that's something that normally when you get moved into a management role, it's because you've been super successful as an individual. And so I think that's a wonderful thing. And there's a lot of pride and accomplishment that goes with that. And suddenly now you're in a role where you're leading other people. And instead of being the best at what you do as an individual, you have this mission that is about increasing the collective capacity or helping this team to perform to its optimum capability. Or maybe even my job now is to look for future stars and future leaders. And these are great joys of leadership, I think, and some of the most rewarding parts of leadership. But that transition from individual star performer to leader is a really hard transition. So I think acknowledging that and preparing someone for that is probably the first thing I would say. And then I have two more pieces of advice that I would give. The first being about mission. Understand what you're there to do. Know your mission. It's pretty unlikely that you're getting moved into a leadership role where you're expected to administer or keep the wheels on. More likely, you're being given a task, a mission. Make sure you know what that is. Maybe it's about increasing growth or lowering cost or getting a project done on time or within budget. Whatever it is, know it. And if you don't know it, or if it's vague or not clear, then define it for yourself. And one way I think to think about it is, if I write this job on my resume someday, what do I want to be able to say about it? What is it that I accomplished? Not what I did and what my tasks were, but how I added value to the organization. And I think bringing that sense of mission to your job and being able to communicate it and then getting others to come along with you and achieving it, that's real leadership. And then thirdly, the last one, I think, if you intend to be effective as a leader, my advice is accept now that you will never know enough. And that means you will never stop learning. You have got to learn every step of the way. And some of these will be really hard lessons that you didn't intend to learn, and you learned them through failure or through mistakes or sometimes through an amazing competitive environment. But sometimes you learn because you sought it out. You looked for other leaders. You looked for partners or people that inspired you. But in any case, recognizing that continual learning is a real deal, and it is a critical element of leadership. And of course, accepting that sometimes that means just-in-time learning the hard way.
Wow, you have really given us a lot to think about. I love the specificity of those three things. Do you, in thinking back on, you know, sort of the first time that you shifted from being an individual contributor into a leadership role, were there any, do you have any special tips? Was there anything that you did to sort of make sure that you had the right frame of mind, you know, that you greeted each day with that right frame of mind to understand the enormity of the shift you were making? You know, because I think a lot of people think, oh, sure, it's just easy, but your writing calling it out as being hard.
It's really hard. And, you know, for me, maybe I'll start with saying, what I learned, again, through failure. One of the things that was really hard for me is like many other high achievers, and I suppose like many other women in leadership roles, I held myself to a really high standard, and I drove myself really hard. And what I found was when I moved into managing people, and I was working for a small company at that time, so I was managing people at a pretty early point in my career, and somehow I felt this obligation to be the boss, you know, and that meant holding other people to my standard. And I would say it took me a while to recognize that really you're not leading until people are following, right? No matter what your job title is. And to create an environment where people want to follow, there really has to be this environment of trust and respect and understanding that this doesn't happen unless we make it happen. I'm just here to make it easier and hopefully to make us better at it. And that, for me, that sense of really looking for in each of the people on my team every single day, recognizing that people who knew more, who were maybe smarter, who had a different idea, even a radically opposing idea, that was value that was being offered to me, and trying to understand that and accept that, I think was really helpful for me and changed my perspective on a lot of days that going to work as a new leader can sometimes feel a little bit like a battle to find your place. But once you realize that it's also really an opportunity, people want to follow a leader that they can believe in on a mission that they also buy into, and you have an opportunity to be that. And that's inspiring.
It seems like there's elements of humility. And I just love your point about mistakes. You know, I think so oftentimes we view mistakes as career killers or, you know, just to be avoided at all costs. And the right. real value is when you see what there is to learn from mistakes, because I know I keep making them.
Right.
I wish I didn't, but you know, oh well.
Yeah, but I guess if we're not reaching, right? If we're not making any mistakes, then we're taking a really safe path. And yeah. in this day and age in business, I think the safe path has probably got a dead end ahead.
Yeah. Yeah. So speaking of dead ends, how yeah. how do you continue to grow and develop as a leader?
Learning is a big part of that, Terry. For me, trying to adjust to maybe where I am at my point in my career, you know, at some point you recognize, much as you don't like it, you're probably in the last third. And first of all, switching from a mode of how high can I go and what can I achieve to a sense of how much value can I add has been really meaningful to me. And this started, I would say, maybe 5 years ago or so, talking to a colleague, you know, and his kids were going to college and my kids were going to college. And we started talking about, yeah, it's changing, right? Our role now is to start building the next generation. It's to start looking for what's next. Our role and our contribution to the organization is evolving. And of course, for each of us, there were still some more promotions ahead, but it began to be this shift. And for me, what I recognized is that if I wasn't careful, I had the opportunity to really get into a rut. And what for me, what that led to was actually a big role change out of the automotive aftermarket and into series production, which has been just truly a delight, but also an amazing challenge of recognizing that lots of times you're not the smartest person in the room. And that change for me really reinforced how important it is that you are challenging yourself. You're trying new things. You're really asking, how can I add value? What's the most value that I can add in this role at this time in this organization? And that for me, that sense of, again, mission and bringing that to the table has been a great challenge and really rewarding.
What do you think is the biggest challenge facing leaders today?
Ooh, well, there's today, April 2020. So it's relative, right? Because today, I think we're facing challenges now we've never faced in our lifetimes, much less much less our professional lives. You know, the crisis that we had in 2008 was so different than what we're experiencing now, even though some of what we learned then is relevant now, and certainly those playbooks are coming back out now. But really, mostly we're sort of all in uncharted territory, doing the best we can with what we know and the experience that we've got. So first of all, the pandemic is probably the most immediate challenge facing leaders today, and maybe hopefully the biggest one that they'll ever face professionally. That said, though, I think the biggest challenge for today's generation of leaders and for the next generation of leaders is the speed of change. I believe that's it's just shocking, the speed of change. And now it's not enough anymore to be an expert, to be an expert at your industry or to have decades of experience. No matter what your areas of focus have been or what they are, there will be change. Fast change, disruptive change, maybe market transformation change, technology change for sure, but also consumer behavior change and consumer expectations. Economic changes, market changes, regional changes, climate change. Everywhere we look, there's change, even the global health crisis we were just talking about. Our business environments and the environments that we operate in regionally and professionally are changing so quickly. I think as a leader, this makes our jobs really challenging. What does that mean? I think it certainly means we have to hone our competence at agility. We have to be able to pivot. We really need to recognize that this is the new life skill, right, for professionals, the ability to adapt quickly. We have to have this balance of the present and the future at the same time. It's not enough anymore to have teams who are excellent at the business of today. We also have to have people on our teams today who are disruptors, who are futurists, who are really worried about what's coming next, or maybe who are really connected to what's happening that we might not be anymore because of our roles or our age or our experience. And this somehow this has to help us steer our way into the future. I think that the ability to react rapidly and to rapidly change is really the ability that is going to help leaders and organizations thrive versus just succeed or exist.
That is just, I think, so profound. And the implications of it are really pretty far reaching. And I wonder, do you think that is one of the reasons why diversity in the workforce is more important than ever?
Exactly, Terry. I really do. And I think that understanding what we mean when we say diversity is also important, right? Because that's evolving too. And certainly the let's say the traditional meanings of diversity are still really relevant. And we have a lot of ways to go as women and as minorities and different ages, et cetera. That is clear that diversity means those things. But I also believe that diversity in thought and in approaches and in style is equally important. For sure, it's always been easier for me to work with and lead teams of people like me. People who think like me, maybe people who approach the world like me or business like me or have a customer focus like I do. That's always easier and sometimes more fun. But the teams that I've been a part of that have been the most successful is where there's difference of opinion, there's really challenging thought, there's a diversity in background and experience, and maybe there's someone at the table who half of the room thinks, but they don't know anything about this business. They just came to this business from, I don't know, some other industry. And those are the teams where magical things happen. And so, yes, I do. I think diversity is critical because we don't have the time that we used to have to build these things over time. We need to compose teams with as much diversity as possible so that we are able to adapt and pivot when we need to capitalize on opportunities or to react to threats.
Gosh, Karen, well, you... I love it. And you've certainly given us lots to think about. Or certainly you've given me a lot to think about. Let me personalize it. So, but now one final question. What blogs or podcasts or other media do you engage with to generate new ideas?
Well, okay, I'm a little prepared for this because, of course, listening to your podcast, I know this question is coming. And first of all, I'm a reader, so I read a lot, and I read a really diverse group of things. So, for example, my inspirational reading is reading farming books, which is ridiculous because I know nothing about farming, but I really enjoy it, and it's a secret guilty pleasure. However, when it comes to business ideas, there's a couple that I really enjoy, and then I have a list of a few that are on my next up list. But the two that I enjoy the most are the one called How I Built This with Guy Raz. If you haven't listened to that podcast, it's great. It is really a podcast about entrepreneurs, and so the woman who started Burt's Bees, the guys who started Life is Good. They go to these entrepreneurs and Guy Raz interviews them, and you really hear their origin stories and lots of failure in those stories, by the way. So lots of learning, but it's super inspirational, very entrepreneurial and motivating. And these are just regular people like us who didn't give up, and it's quite inspiring. So How I Built This with Guy Raz is a great one. And then another one that I think is inspiring is the Kai Ryssdal podcast. He has lots of them, but the one that is called Corner Office, where he interviews CEOs and other leaders. And it's always a short segment, kind of like this, and very inspirational because you get these different perspectives in business. So those are the two that I make sure I regularly listen to. And then there's three that are on my next up list that I just haven't gotten to yet. Harvard Business Review, HBR, has some good ones, and they have two that I've heard really good things about and I haven't listened to much. I think I've listened to only a couple of the first one, IdeaCast, which is also really good sort of leadership tips. And then they also have a Women at Work podcast that I'm really interested in, want to explore a little bit. And then finally, I really enjoy the Center for Creative Leadership, and they have a podcast called When She Leads. And I've also heard some good things about that, but haven't had a chance to listen. So those are on my next up list.
Oh, those are great. So we're going to put a tip sheet up with those in conjunction on our website, in conjunction with your podcast, so that our listeners can go back and find them. So that they aren't trying to remember them while they're listening right now. So thank you so much for sharing that. And you know, Karen, thank you so much for joining us today.
What a pleasure, Terry. Thank you.
So that wraps up our podcast. Please come back to informmichigan.org for more opportunities to meet her. And while you're there, check out the other Virtual Inform components, including a growing library of video tips, virtual leadership development programming, and even a series of virtual events. Thank you.